Well, welcome to the Journey Together podcast with Joshua and Anna Gresham.
Hey, guys.
We're going to talk about something really important today.
Wow. You know, you started that shaking your head like it's, I don't know. This is a heavy topic.
It is a heavy topic. It's important that we talk about it. A lot of people don't know what to do with it or how to operate in it. And sometimes they let time pass, unfortunately, and then therefore it kind of fades with the necessity to do it, but they don't realize the freedom that it sets themselves free and others.
Wait. You're saying all of these things, but you've yet to tell people exactly what we're talking about.
Well, I was hoping they read it in the title. We're talking about how to say I'm sorry.
Learning to apologize. Do you feel like kids naturally, I'm going to talk about kids for a second, because I was thinking about this with this topic. You know, you have kids that just don't want to apologize no matter what, right?
Yeah.
Like it's that, like this starts as a child where you're like, hey, you need to tell your brother you're sorry. My mom legit would make my brother and I give each other a hug and a kiss and tell each other we were sorry when we were little. And it was like torture.
It is.
It was the worst thing ever. So I was raised in a house that you were forced to say I'm sorry, mm-hmm. and show some type of an affection or love to make things better.
Yeah, we do it with our children now.
But it's not easy. Even as a child, mm-hmm. you're coming up and you're thinking, oh my gosh, not all kids want to say I'm sorry.
No, not at all. Is it a pride thing? Like, what is it exactly? Like, why do we want to hold on to that? It's got to be a pride thing, obviously. Of the right versus your wrong. And that's got to be it. Because obviously when the child hits, it's like if you're trying to tell them to say they're sorry because they hit one another, it's the justification. Like they are justifying why they did what they did. Therefore, they don't want to say they're sorry. Or if they're holding on to something, like, I'm not going to share this. And you're like, you tell them, you know, you say you're sorry. They're like, but it's mine, you know. So it's a pride justification.
So do you think that as an adult, the challenge in learning to apologize, you've got two different ways to look at this. As a kid, you either had a challenging time saying I'm sorry and you wanted to justify everything, or you were quick to say I'm sorry, but in your mind, or you grew up with someone quick to say I'm sorry, but then they went back and they were repeat offenders.
Oh.
Right? So, I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. But then here they are. They're still doing it. So then you grow up and you have this thought of, is it worth it? I think it's a great thought to walk through of, am I dealing with, I don't know, a misconception that an apology isn't worth it? Because I think that's part of the issue when it comes to learning to say, I'm sorry. You're not sure if it's really worth it.
Wow. You're peeling back layers of thought, though. I'm not really ready to go down those roads.
I need you to go there. Let's go.
I don't know. I mean, that's tough. There is so much value in forgiveness, and there's value for yourself. And that's what I started off by saying. The freedom that it sets you free and then other people free as well by forgiving. But repeat offenders is where you got me, because that's everyone's biggest question. How do you forgive a repeat offender? And what's the balance between going back to that person, treating them, you know, with love and passion and all those compassion, how do you do that? What's that balance? Creating boundaries.
Okay. Yeah. This is where the healthy boundary conversation comes in. I don't think we're there yet to get to that point in this conversation about the healthy boundaries. I feel like we kind of need to take a step towards why we apologize and what it means to us, and then move forward. Okay, I looked up the definition for the word apology. You know, I like words. I like to define words. And it is an acknowledgement of a failure, of an offense, essentially of a wrong that's been done. For me, the value in an apology is knowing that what took place is being acknowledged, that my feelings are being acknowledged, that Or if I'm the one apologizing, I'm acknowledging someone else's feelings or recognizing, oh, hey, there's been a mess up. I have had to apologize a lot in my life because I am a talker and I've said a lot of stupid things to people, not even meaning to say something stupid, but because I like to talk, I've hurt people's feelings unknowingly, or have just been too blunt, or I don't know. And I want to acknowledge their feelings. I never want anyone to be hurt because
right.
I said something, even if you did it knowingly or unknowingly, I want to apologize. Like I feel like that's a part of me living in Christ is thinking of, okay, how can I be a maker of peace in this situation? I don't want that person to be hurt by me.
Right.
Lord, if I need to apologize, I need to apologize. Like, this needs to happen. I want people to know that I care. Maybe that's it. That acknowledgement is really showing that you care and you have compassion for someone.
Yeah, but just, let's get on a personal level. You are a compassionate, nice person.
Thank you.
You're not of ill intent.
No, but you can still say things and hurt people's feelings and not realize. I'm talking like my whole life.
I know. But I think those are like knee-jerk reactions. Like, someone will ask me a quick question. I think I've been trying my best to learn to be slow to speak, to create pause between those questions or a thought or a judgment, and to pass judgment too soon. And you're like, I wish I wouldn't have said anything. I wish I would have just kept my mouth shut. Those moments for sure. Because again, I know exactly what you're saying, because you and I are not people who have ill intent to hurt someone. We want people to thrive. We want them to flourish. And we want to see the best in people. Sometimes we can say things where we go, oh my gosh, I can't believe I just said that out loud. And it was because we were saying what we were thinking without the process of it.
But you still need to acknowledge it was said.
Sure.
And apologize. Yeah. I think that's where in learning to say I'm sorry, often people say, well, I said what I said and I don't care.
Oh yeah, that's special.
I think we've got to wake up to caring. I'm not saying you're walking around on eggshells everywhere, but you know that if you hurt someone and you're walking through this, my perspective is I want to make, hey, I'm so sorry. I would never want to hurt your feelings. I apologize. I love you. Like I want you to be okay. I would rather take the high road of the road of like, Lord, I'm looking to you. I want to make sure that I'm a maker of peace. Matthew 5:9. That's the scripture I was thinking about with all of this. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. What's a peacemaker? A maker of peace. You are making peace in the situation.
Mm-hmm.
So whether you say it or not, do you want, I think an apology is a part of that kindness that God wants us to extend to others. If there's been an offense or a failure or a wrongdoing, knowingly or unknowingly.
Yeah.
Because how often do people just walk around and they're just okay with it?
Yeah, for sure. I think time passes and they don't, as time goes on, you aren't focused on it as much. But there's still something lingering. You just can't put your finger on it because you just haven't, you're not putting thought on it. So then what happens is because of that, the famous statement of just get over it is kind of the thought for both parties. Just get over it. And that's not great. That's not good. So the quicker, more direct approach that I've always found to be the healthiest is immediately going to the person. Now, one thing I've had to learn that's been very difficult to understand because of my own personal opinion is, or not personal opinion, maybe my own personal emotions or whatever, I'm actually fairly quick to forgive and move on, and others aren't. And that's been really hard for me at times. So if someone were to do something against me or ill will, and they say they're sorry, I'm actually pretty quick to forgive and forget. But it's always been weird for me that if I've had to, ask for forgiveness to say, hey, I'm sorry, I did something. It's always odd to me for people who say it takes me longer to forget or it takes me longer. Now, there's severities. We know that. To each situation.
I have said that to you.
What?
You're like, I'm already over it. And I'm like, well, I'm not. I'm still processing. Even though you've apologized, I'm still working through this.
Yeah.
I've said that to you.
I'm ready to just start making out.
It's true. You are. It's interesting.
I don't know what it is about me. I think it's just the thought of, I don't want to hold on to it anymore.
That's fine. So let's think. So then when it comes to an apology,
yeah.
Whether you're the one apologizing or you're receiving the apology, it's still between you and God. This is personal. Like yeah. You can't take on the other person's weight of how they receive it because that's between them and God.
Mm-hmm.
Like I think if we acknowledge, hey, I need to apologize. Then when you do, and it's sincere from a heart that cares, you are not responsible for carrying the response of the individual you're apologizing to or receiving from.
Do you think that there's a correlation between forgiving someone and forgetting to a trust that you don't trust easily, or I trust too easily? Therefore, by forgetting and forgiving and just letting it go, or forgetting and forgiving, then is it because I trust people easier than what someone else would? Do you find that?
I think it
defined to be a correlation.
Sure, I think it does correlate between your relationship with the Lord. Of are you processing the unforgiveness? Are you inviting the Lord in and helping you to work through this? People have gone through some really hard things. We've gone through some hard things.
Yeah.
And in going through hard things, I've had times in my life where I might have received the apology, but I recognized it took me a few days of getting my thoughts on the Word of God and really making sure that I'm praying for that person so it didn't become some type of root of bitterness in my life. I never want to have an offense be a stumbling block. So that's a personal conversation I have with the Lord. And I want to be real cautious of it. So there is a correlation of, have you allowed the Holy Spirit to convict you when it comes to offenses, wrongdoings, or you know, something that's hurt you and that's been tough in your life,
mm-hmm.
that you actually want to walk through forgiveness? I went through that whole thing where I recognized, I think I'm keeping tally marks of some unforgiveness things here. I felt like when you and I were having a season where we were arguing over just different things in the ministry and different things at home, and we just were stressed out and had a lot going on. And the Lord took me to 1 Corinthians 13, and I began to walk through that, where in this love chapter, it talks about keeping no record of wrongdoings. And the Holy Spirit immediately was like, you're doing that. You have a tally mark, and you need to allow me to magic erase that tally mark. You know, I like how magic erasers like get everything. I'm not saying maybe magic eraser is the wrong example. Sorry. Erase the word magic there. It's a supernatural power of God that helps you because of the precious blood of Jesus washes away the wrongs that have been done to you, that helps you to work through this. So that, for me, the correlation is, are you choosing to grow in the love of Jesus? Are you allowing the Holy Spirit to minister to your heart, and you're acknowledging the wrong or the offense, and you're dealing with it? You're taking that next best step of forgiveness. For many, it's been going to like a great Christian counselor, someone or that, you know, is really sowing into you and helping you work through hard things. It's, of course, having the apology and receiving the apology. It's maybe going to a pastor or a godly friend with your spouse, talking through hard seasons or having that discussion of like, hey, we need to work through this. Like, I feel like there is a next best step so that you don't live in the land of regret or unforgiveness.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah. I mean, the value of it, the Bible is consistent with this topic of forgiveness, the need of it. I believe that there's a, I mean, I not only believe this, but I know a lot of people follow behind this of even in physical sickness, the question's been asked, whether it be a long-term illness or whatever, one of the questions asked is there any unforgiveness in your heart? As if that's not the cause root of the illness. Obviously, that's, you know, not necessarily the case, but the idea of the lingering of this, of you have a spirit, there's a spiritual connection to the physical, and is it causing more harm? Is it keeping you from that healing? That gets asked quite a bit.
Okay, that goes in Mark 11, verses 25 and 26, forgiveness and prayer.
Mm-hmm.
And whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him that your Father in heaven may also forgive your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your trespasses. Right before that, Jesus is ministering the lesson of the withered fig tree, but he's saying, have faith in God. He's talking about speaking to that mountain. And 100%, if you're walking around with bitterness and unforgiveness in your heart, and you just, it zaps your joy. We know the joy of the Lord, your strength. You find yourself in this pit of discouragement or despair, or you're like on a lonely island because you just think everybody's against you.
Yeah.
So it's huge.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not little. It's huge. And this is where I go back to that question in the very beginning. Is it worth it? Yes. 110% it's worth it. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, starting in verse 12, you guys, phenomenal set of scripture to read of being an ambassador of Christ and a minister of reconciliation, that we actually have a ministry of reconciling others to Christ. That's challenging to do if you're always in strife or not willing to work through a conversation that may be hard that involves forgiveness, you know? And I've been there where I'm like, oh my goodness, Lord, I need to say this. And you know, it's worth it every time. Goodness gracious, is it worth it every time to say, I'm sorry, or I love you? Have I hurt your feelings? In our marriage, it's worth it every time. We've apologized to our kids if we've messed up or if we said something, or we've had times where we've had arguments in front of our children, or we've gone through hard things and we're like, hey, we're sorry. We love each other. We love you. We openly try to live this in front of our children. And because we're not perfect, but we serve Jesus and he's perfect.
Yeah.
And so this goes to 2 Corinthians in chapter 5 and verse 14. The very first part of this verse says, for the love of Christ compels us. I want to ask the question, and this is, make it rhetorical right now, but is the love of Christ compelling you? It's a great, like, what is compelling you? Maybe that's the best way to ask this.
Yeah, your driving force.
Is it the love of Christ? Because if the love of Christ is compelling me, then I want to make sure that I reconcile others to Christ Jesus, and I need to be a witness and testimony of Christ Jesus.
Yeah,
right?
That's good.
And we were talking about these scriptures. This is a scripture I'm loading you up right now, you guys. This is one of those weekly Gresham scriptures that we say to our children often, found out of the book of Ephesians, chapter 4, and verse 32, it says, and be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you.
Yeah.
Kindness and having a tender heart goes hand in hand with forgiveness, right? This is huge in learning to say, I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm.
Does it matter to you when I apologize?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, there's like this tension that you don't recognize that's happening, and it's like if you just feel it, like constriction upon like your gut and your heart and your mind, and then when that's said, and then you can come to the resolve of the situation, then there's no more hurt. There's no more bitterness, no more pain. So all of that offense kind of just, it goes away. You can't hold on to it. So yeah, there's a nice
Would you call it a healing? Like an inner healing takes place.
Yeah.
Because you begin that process of restoration or reconciliation.
Yeah, for sure. Absolutely.
Do you believe, and I think this is where, you know, if you're struggling with keeping tally marks, and especially in marriage, we often talk like, gosh, you cannot bring up past mistakes and hurts and weaponize that in arguments. When you apologize and you're sincere, you begin that process of building trust, then you have to be willing to take a next step forward, like the next best step moving forward.
Mm-hmm.
And when you do that, you're looking to Jesus and the precious blood of Jesus that's washed this under the blood, true repentance, rather than looking back at the offense and the hurt.
Yeah. Yeah. And then the famous saying, hurt people hurt people. So like hurt people who are hurt, and this is where the conversation from earlier kind of comes up, which is the boundaries. Where do you set these boundaries? Because if a person isn't walking in Christ Jesus, you cannot be in relationship with them very well, because Christ is not compelling them.
Yeah.
They have their own inner dialogue.
There's a blinder from Satan that they don't see it.
Right.
Because there's a worldly thought process.
So if you're married to someone like this, then your prayer is that God intervenes and that you are praying for the Holy Spirit to come into that environment and to send the right person to, you know, whatever.
Right. We pray for the blinders to be off in Jesus' name.
Yeah.
Open ears, open hearts. And for the individual, whether it's a spouse or a friend, a family member, that they have an encounter with God and a testimony of Jesus. But in the meantime, you are the mouthpiece. You are the reconciler.
Yeah. So when, you know, this is when you're married to someone like that, you just have to pray for that breakthrough. And you continue to be the example. Don't ever give in to, well, their bitterness will make me bitter, or, you know, vice versa. That shouldn't happen. So if you're not, this is not dealing with a married situation, you're dealing with a coworker or a neighbor or a friend, whatever, family member, then this is where you have to decide of where to draw the boundary line, of where do I stand. Now we know at Matthew chapter 6, when Jesus is giving us instructions on the Lord's Prayer, this is not the Lord's Prayer in the sense of we have to say the Lord's Prayer every day. This is the Lord's Prayer in instruction of how we should pray, which is, you know, giving thanks to the Father, and then that process of getting now to the point of requests, presenting those requests to Him. But it's coming from a posture and a position of forgiveness, of I don't want to have any ill will in my heart.
Yeah.
So that's first. So it's like, take that from me. I want to walk in forgiveness. So forgive those as you would have, you know, God forgive you. That's really important. Now, so that you don't have that heart or that hurt. So in order to continue to walk with people and creating that healthy boundary is probably to create some healthy lines of I'm just not going to go there anymore, meaning I can't continue the conversations that we've had on the phone for a long time, long periods of time, or whatever the case is, you know, the interaction. If you're dealing with someone at your workplace and they're just bitter and they're hard and you've gotten to a resolve, fantastic. But it's a character building of not that they have to jump through hoops to gain that trust back, but there's got to be experience that takes place where you can see, oh, okay, because there is a gradual plane of increase of back to this, I can trust you over time type of a deal. So be really careful that you would be quick with the, you know, consistent mistrust, consistent hurt, consistent pain that someone may cause you. So you're going to have to create some boundaries, and it's totally healthy and totally okay. I always go to the scripture, and I can't remember the reference right now, but, you know, a dog returning to its barf, basically. I think that's a really important scripture to hold on to for yourself, that I wouldn't keep going back to that pain and hurt that someone makes you feel. So if it's someone you're dealing with at your workplace, I always pray blessing and not cursing over someone. So I would pray for that coworker to be blessed, to get a pay, to get a pay increase, a job promotion. I would be praying for them to find a better job that just pays for, you know, their family in certain ways, you know, whatever. So I would always be praying for that. A neighbor, if you're having a conflict with a neighbor, I would be praying for that neighbor to find a better, newer neighborhood, a better home. I'd pray for that blessing for them, not cursing. Same goes for friends and family. I'd be praying for just blessings upon blessings so that there is a way to create boundaries over even geographic boundaries, you know, because sometimes that's helpful.
I feel like you and I went through a season where we really worked hard on this, and we made a decision that we were not going to speak anything but blessing over individuals or challenging things we were going through. Like we intentionally wanted to operate from that place of forgiveness. And who you curse is Satan. You rebuke Satan. He's the enemy. This is, people are not the enemy. And you've got to remind yourself of that. And anytime something else would try to rise up out of our thought process or our voice, and we were quick to be like, nope, we speak a blessing. In Jesus' name, we speak a blessing over their life, Lord. Bless them, help them, encourage them. And man, that helps you to live a life of prayer, of compassion towards others. Rather than being in conflict all the time in your mind, you go from conflict to a conviction of walking in the love of Christ, Christ compelling you into living a life of compassion. Jesus was full of compassion. I want to be full of compassion. So that's huge. I'm glad you brought that up. And you guys, this goes hand in hand. I don't know. I guess you got to ask the question. Let's go back to marriage. Do you care about your spouse, or have you grown complacent and you need to apologize for all kinds of stuff rather than walking around and just acting like everything's okay? If you did something wrong or you hurt their feelings, have ownership and tell them you're sorry. You know, like, I think this is something that you and I are really trying to just do a good job at and work on it, to be like, hey, I'm sorry if I hurt your feelings. Because we want to have a happy marriage forever, you know.
Like, we're right, yeah.
Like we're trying to enjoy life. God wants you to enjoy your marriage, and apologies and forgiveness. I go back to Ephesians 4, being kind. Saying I'm sorry is a kindness. That's a tender heart, rather than, is who you married. This is what you got. I mean, I don't know.
Oh man, that hard. The hard side of people is so revealing to me where their heart is with Christ. But that's, I mean, the hardness of someone when they act like that is just, it's somewhat shocking to me. And at times I'm just like, I'm not shocked any longer. But you really need, maybe we need, let's land this plane and let's answer the question of how do you say you're sorry? And you said it earlier with stop the tallying, stop creating tallies. At some point, you need to be the bigger person and just say, I'm sorry. Even though you may be justified in holding on to this, maybe you didn't do anything wrong. Who knows? I think if you start the process of going to someone and saying, hey, I want to let you know that I'm sorry. Now, this person may be extremely hard, and they're going to go, oh, good, you needed to say that for a long time. And it's going to be so hard for you because you know for a fact, you're like, oh, gosh, they are the ones who need to apologize. I know, I get it. But to at least say, you're sorry, and then that's the hard boundary, where if they don't want to walk in forgiveness, then that's fine. And you can, but you can wash your hands of it, and you can be set free from that. You always need to remember our battle is not against flesh and blood, but against spiritual warfare. Therefore, you need to be completely aware of the fact that this is spiritual warfare that's taking place. So you're forgiving the person and you're walking away, and it's okay. Even though I know you're sitting here going, man, but I am right in this circumstance. It doesn't matter to be right. Your right does not outweigh the freedom that you're going to receive from forgiving someone?
All right. I've got all kinds of scripture popping up in my heart, clearly because I have had to go here. All right. And I'm okay with it. All right. I'm okay with saying I want to grow in forgiveness and love and apologizing. I want to honor God in that. Now, this doesn't mean you're just walking around apologizing for everything under the sun and you are living in this victim mentality. That's not what we're talking about. This is being led by the Spirit of God. I go back to this, making peace. Are you being a peacemaker? If you need to address a conflict where you're open, honest, and direct, and you say, hey, this hurt me, I'm walking through this, that's a whole other discussion, which we're not talking about today. Today, we're honing in on your part in this. Okay, in 1 John 4:17, and I think we need all of these scriptures, guys, it says, love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. As Jesus is. Now, as he is, what does this mean exactly? If you read up in 1 John 4, as the love of Christ is, you have the love of Jesus shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Ghost. You are a reflection of the love of God through Christ Jesus in this world. That should be enough to want to be a maker of peace and to be a minister of reconciliation, because there are enough people walking around hurt and broken in offense. And at some point we have to refuse to be one of those people and to say, Christ, your love compels me and I want to walk in love.
Yeah.
For me, that's enough to want to say I'm sorry and to walk through this process. It changes things.
Sure. I anytime in our own personal relationship, I don't ever want strife to be there between us. So like, I want you beside me, like on the couch, in the bed, you know, whatever, at all times. So there's things that we've created boundaries with where we say, meaning on the other side, not boundaries to separate us, but boundaries to bring us together. So it's never sleeping downstairs on the couch, never going to bed without, you know, saying you're sorry.
We have stayed up half the night until we've gotten to that place.
Yeah.
Like, we're hardcore about it.
Because those are the boundaries that need to be set. Not the boundaries of separation, but the boundaries of actually bringing us together. And that's where we won't go past those.
We're teaching our children to apologize.
Yeah, we don't leave the house angry.
Why they taking ownership of their actions. You know, I had this picture, I just thought of this, that unforgiveness is like a muddy river, right? No one really wants to cross a muddy river or get into muddy water. But we have the river of life. You have a, you know, when I think of this crystal clear, just pure, God's pure love, I want to jump in that.
Sure.
Right? I want that. I don't want any muddy waters between us,
right,
or with our children. And that's even going in when your kids are operating in this place of forgiveness and you're teaching them, tell them, hey, I'm proud of you.
Yeah.
I'm so proud of you for saying I'm sorry, for taking ownership for this. And it's not easy, but it's worth it in having that conversation.
Yeah. Yeah.
No muddy water.
No muddy water. So today, if you're listening to this, I would encourage you, you don't send this to the person you're in strife with, but you be proactive and you call the person you're in strife with and maybe do a face-to-face. Talk with that person and just say, hey, I need to say I'm sorry. I don't want to carry this weight anymore. I don't want to carry this strife between us. And they may say, tough luck, I don't care, I'm going to continue this, or whatever the verbiage may be. You have got to say it. You have to set yourself free from it. You be the example that God has asked us to be. And when you do that, you are creating an authority over your circumstance that the enemy cannot take from you. So I would encourage you to do that, all right? Send this to somebody who's dealing with strife right now. Send it to somebody who is, maybe it's not, you're not a part of it, and you can send this to your friend, your family, coworker, but send them this. Get them set free from how to say I'm sorry. Be bold, be so bold, and really
kind and tenderhearted. Don't justify it. Just apologize. No one.
Yeah, don't give a big explanation.
No one likes, I'm sorry, but you did this to me and I hate you. Okay, that's the worst apology ever. That's not what this looks like.
Yeah, you're not saying, I forgive you. Right. No.
No, no, no.
I don't ever walk up to someone and be like, I want to let you know that I forgive you. And it's like,
you're a jerk.
No, because you don't even maybe know what it is. Yeah. Plus, I have a rule. We have a rule, and it's 5 days. You have 5 days max. After 5 days, you're in sin, and it's your fault.
Yeah, deal with it.
If there's somebody who's offended you, you need to go to
them. Now
we're
getting real honest. We're getting real honest.
You need to go to them and say, hey, this past week, this you said this to me. I need some clarification on it. And maybe I misunderstood you. And then if they go, no, you didn't misunderstand me. That's exactly what I meant and said. Well, then, okay, well, why would you say that? You know, and or they may say, it was a misunderstanding. I'm so sorry. That's not what I meant by that. And you go, oh, okay, man, I've been holding on to that for too long. But you can't hold on to offense and then go to someone 4 months later and say, I want you to know I'm forgiving you. They can't even remember the circumstance, so you cannot do that. You have to be proactive immediately and to say, I need to talk about this. But period, no matter how many tallies and the justification you may have that you said one bad thing and they've said 10 things or they've done 10 things right. And you've only done one thing, you need to be the bigger person and you need to do what Christ has compelled us to do and that you say, hey, I just want to let you know that I'm sorry for what I've done. And then that leave it at that. You don't need to bring up all the things they've done. Just say, I'm sorry. Set yourself free from this.
How are you the bigger person? Because you have the greater one living inside of you. You are relying on his strength and his grace to help you with this.
Yep.
Reading 1 Corinthians 13 was a game changer for me. Meditating on the love of God, really huge in helping me to operate. And acknowledging that I want to grow in this. And if it's your day-to-day marriage, we've talked about it, be willing to apologize to your spouse for just being stupid sometimes because it's worth it.
Yeah.
No muddy waters. I don't want any muddy waters.
Yeah.
And then this is my final thing because I thought of it. This past week, I thought of social media, which I know you hate, but I thought of how often people follow other people that they're in unforgiveness with, and then every time they see them, they just think or say mean things about them. You know what happens all the time. And I thought, Lord, you have a better plan than that. And I would like to encourage, if you're struggling with that, and honestly, I was thinking of people that might have unforgiveness with me. I don't know. And I thought, I wonder if there are people, like I was thinking of it personal, that follow me, that just don't like me. Now, I'm not responsible for that with them. But then I started to think of myself. All of that does is cause more chaos and confusion, more strife and unforgiveness in your heart. Reconcile that. I feel like we have to address social media because it's out there, people are using it, and here you are. If you're thinking ill will or wrong thoughts about people that you follow, you need to work through that with Christ and set a boundary because it's not helpful.
Yeah, you don't have a healthy balance or healthy relationship with social media. You probably, no one does, as a matter of fact. I mean, as far as I'm concerned.
Is that weird I brought that up? I feel like I needed to bring it up because I think
people... feeds into these things.
Yes, I think it does feed into it. And then before you know it, it's just more unforgiveness and strife and comparison. And then you just, I don't know, it turns ugly. And that's not the love of Jesus. What is Christ compelling us to do? It's the love of God in every aspect. That's what it is.
There's nothing better than a warm embrace. There's nothing better than that.
Mm.
And, you know, I that's like one of my favorite, like this morning, you gave me a hug in our bedroom. And I was like, I like this. That is
warm embrace,
so healing and beautiful versus the strife that unforgiveness causes and all those things. So what I mean is like, come on, people, let's be aware of what makes people feel good and how we should be components and of that process. Let's make people feel good. Let's bring people healing through the power of God's love. And it's not through unforgiveness. So let's be smart and let's be bold and be compelled by Christ and do what we need to do.
It's time for a warm embrace.
Yep. All right.
I like it.
Guys, have a great, wonderful week. And again, share this, like it, make it happen. We want other people to be set free with forgiveness.
Yeah. We love you guys.
All right. Have a good one.